Mariner Books and Harper Audio present Learning America, One Woman's Fight for Educational Justice for Refugee Children by Luma Mufleh. This is the author. One other note before we begin. To view the appendices and notes from the print edition of this book, be sure to download the accompanying enhancement PDF from your audiobook provider, or go directly to www.harpercollins.com/pages/learningamerica. Author's note. The stories in this book are all about real people who've helped shape my life. Some of them wanted their names used and others did not. For my students and their families who are concerned about their privacy, I've changed some identifying details. Prologue. Jordan in Georgia. It was a mistake, a wrong turn that had brought me that spring of 2004 to the parking lot of one of the many shabby apartment complexes in the refugee resettlement community of Clarkson, Georgia, 20 miles east of downtown Atlanta. Frustrated and in a hurry, I pulled in to make a U-turn. That's when I saw them. Half a dozen boys, most of them barefoot, passing around a raggedy soccer ball with two rocks set up for a goal. Everything else around me ceased to exist. It was like watching a home movie of my childhood, which I had spent in neighborhood streets near my home in Amman, Jordan, kicking a soccer ball between rocks, rarely stopping for water, rest, or much else. These boys were decent players, but their ball was half deflated. A hot breeze pushed garbage beneath broken down minivans and across the pavement, which was crumbling, its white lines faded by the sun. I've told this story hundreds of times, and it's always a little tough for Americans to understand, but to me, there was nothing strange about approaching a group of boys in a parking lot and asking to join their game. During a pickup match of soccer in the streets of Amman, anyone who wanted to play just had to ask. For the rest of the world, soccer is a universal language, one that often spans class, racial, and religious divides, as was evident in the lot that day. At the time, I was coaching a club girls team for the local YMCA, so I happened to have a bag of new soccer balls in my trunk. I grabbed one and started walking. The boys' game slowed to a halt as they all stopped to stare at me, or rather, stare at the ball. Here's what they didn't say. Who are you? What do you want? Here's what they did say. Can we have the ball? I want to play, I answered, indicating that it would be a trade. The boys exchanged looks and gathered into a huddle. After a few long seconds, they assigned me to a side. It didn't take long to realize they had put me on the weaker team. As the game moved back and forth across the concrete, I called for a pass and another, but no one would look my way. I'm not one for showboating, but I realized I'd have to prove myself. I stepped up to one of the kids on the opposing team, stripped the ball away from him, and as another player tried to take it away from me, I put it through his legs before easily tapping the ball into the goal. After that, they took me seriously. We played for hours. It became obvious that most of the kids spoke only a little English, words like pass and shoot and goal. They communicated mostly with hand gestures. We refereed ourselves. I played in my work clothes, cargo pants and a t-shirt, and the boys were wearing a variety of hand-me-downs. A few days later, at the same time in the afternoon, I drove back to the parking lot. The boys were there, with some new faces and some missing. I grabbed a ball from my car and joined the game. And so it went, for weeks. I'd found a piece of Jordan in the middle of Georgia. Part 1. 1. Why don't you go back? My grandmother completed the 7th grade. That was the end of her formal education. She was married at 15 and a mother at 16. Over the next 5 years, she gave birth to 4 more children. None of this was unusual for a middle-class family in Damascus, Syria in the 1950s. In 1964, when my grandmother was pregnant with her 6th...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?